Welcome Radio, I'm Gonzalo Suarez from the 68th Cannes Film Festival. This is an extract from the conversation with Netflix Chief Content Officer Ted Sarandos at the Next Pavilion within the framework of the Cannes Film Market. The General Delegate of the Festival, Thierry Frémaux, introduced this conversation, where Sarandos talked not only about the evolution and the model of Netflix and its global programming after its landing in France, but also about how Netflix works with producers, the company's strategy on local programming, and its views on the media chronology and the future of film consumerism.
So about a third of all the watching on Netflix by hours is our movies. So about two-thirds of the watching are TV series. Mm-hmm. Now, when we started Netflix as a DVD by post business many years ago, it was 90% movies, 10% TV shows. And in that evolution, I think that there's many ways you could figure out how that came to be. One is we're certainly living in a new golden age of television where television has never been better. TV shows are being made by the best film talent, starring legendary, often, film talent. So there's been an interesting migration of consumers of some of the time and interest and attention that they used to spend on movies, they now spend on watching television shows, serialized television shows. So you could look at that as it's just a blurring the lines between movies and television, or you could look at it that movies are being displaced in the culture a little bit by television. And I think that there's a real separate art to making films. The story compression to be telling a story in 2 hours versus 13 hours or 26 or more hours, and it's an art that people love, and we're trying to figure out ways to make it more and more relevant to our subscribers. The problem with our current movies on Netflix is that they have to wait so long after the cinema, and there's 300 movies a year get released in France, and there's just not enough weekends or screens to support them all. And after you wait a year. It's just too long. And we live in an age where the internet has attuned us to want things whenever we want, wherever we want, and movies have been uniquely immune from that. So we're trying to kind of bring movies along with that. So our model is meant to say, instead of taking this kind of lottery ticket approach to films, all the films that we do on Netflix are going to be profitable for the producer. So we buy the films at a premium to the budget. So there's no chance that an investor to a film who does a deal with Netflix is going to lose money. And I think that's unique to Netflix. Plus in that we can give them a global audience of today, 63 million and certainly a growing customer, so that people will see their film, they will make money on their film, and more importantly, it will be a film that will be important in the culture. It'll be, when people say, I want my movies on the screen, I want my movies on this, but really what they're saying, I think, is that they want the movies in the culture. Believe it or not, the old system works pretty well for submissions. So we work through the agencies a lot. It's a great filter for us of, the good ones know what we're looking for and can get them to us. But we're also very present at film festivals around the world, and we usually participate in the pitch sessions that they do. We work with Film Independent in Los Angeles, with the IFP in New York. And we work with similar organizations around the world to inbound these projects. But they come to us in all kinds of unlikely ways. Mm-hmm. But the most efficient one, I think, is actually working through the agencies. France is particularly onerous, on subscription services. So a movie that plays in the theaters, you cannot release it on a subscription service for 36 months. That obviously is not good for anybody. I think it's not good. It doesn't protect the cinema. It actually makes the cinema more irrelevant because more and more people will choose not to release in the cinema, so they don't have the 36-month wait, because with that comes a huge discount in the television value of that film. So I think that our original films, even if we do a day-and-date theatrical, we won't release in cinema in France. And we don't technically have to follow the chronology because we are not a French company, but we choose to. So if we open that movie in a theater, we would wait the 36 months. That's why we choose not to open it in a theater. So I don't know how that helps cinema. But we're following the rules as it is for now. And I think our original films, the best way to kind of change windows, when we started doing original series, one of the innovations that we brought to that was releasing all the episodes at one time. So season 1, episode 1 through 13, all available the same day. Now, no deal with a network would have allowed us to do that. So we had to kind of move up, work with the producers, and release the programming ourselves to change those rules. And that's what we'll do with film as well. And because the windows are very important. I mean, you think about it, the internet has changed the way we buy books. It's changed the way we buy video games. It's changed the way we buy and consume music. Everything about the way we consume entertainment has been changed by the internet, except for this first window theatrical. So that clearly, you can say that it's going to be the only thing that lasts forever, but I don't think so. One of my favorite movies last year was Whiplash. Now, that movie was no better. I didn't need it to be bigger. I didn't need it to be louder. I watched it on my beautiful big screen TV at home in 4K. It was beautiful, right? So, but seeing, you know, the Avengers in IMAX with rattling seats and everything is a pretty cool experience too. So I think what you'll find out is as time goes by, people will have more and more choice. Look what's happening. Last week, $500 million was made in 24 hours on the Manny Pacquiao Mayweather fight on pay-per-view. $500 million in one day. I'm sure every studio in Hollywood is looking at that thinking, well, is that a better model than this one? They look at micro things like The Interview. The Interview was the result of a very unfortunate turn of events, obviously, that I thought Michael Linton and Amy navigated beautifully. And they took this film that could have been a complete financial disaster and orchestrated an alternative model that movie's ultimates will be well over $100 million without any significant theatrical release. Six months ago, no one would have told you that was possible. So while I agree it was an anomalous film, an anomalous situation, it really does paint a set of possibilities of how movies can be profitable in all kinds of different release windows. Nothing I'm saying and nothing we're doing is meant to be anti-theater or anti-cinema. I love, personally, the experience of going to the theater, going to the cinema. I think it competes beautifully on its own. I have great confidence that if things were day and date, people would still go to the movies. But I do think that people need choice. And people want choice, and if you try to prevent them from choice, it's going to ultimately harm that. So think about all of these initiatives as being very pro-movies. So I think movies will be more profitable, be seen by more people, enjoyed more in the culture, if consumers had more choice. It might be that cinemas lose a little bit of that, or it may be that some distributors have to give up some of that. But in total, the movie business will be bigger. More films will get made, more films will get watched, more films will be loved.
To listen to the full conversation with Ted Sarandos, other panels at the Cannes Film Market, and more content related to the film industry, check out our industry channel. Thank you very much for listening, and stay tuned for more in Fred Film Radio, the Festival Insider.
Fred Film Radio, 24/7 on fred.fm and smartphone apps.